Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. Don't live your life on hold with online car insurance that's driven to save you time and money.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Now, oh God, I nearly forgot to play my little Halloween music here to get us in the mood. There we go, for some spooky, shape-shifting storytelling. It's Halloween. We thought it was fitting to talk about the fairies, who you'll see or maybe not see this very evening. Sheena Quinn has written The Fairy Isle, Tales and Traditions of Ireland's Forgotten Folklore, illustrated by Dermot Flynn. Welcome, Dermot. They've taken a very grave risk, these people, in sharing these nearly terrifying and gorgeously evoked stories of the little people. And they're here in studio before the fairies find out what they've done. Sheena.
Hi, Oliver. Thanks to William for having us on the show.
Are you worried, by the way?
I'm not worried, no, because I have a number of things to protect me.
One
of the main things how you can protect yourself from the fairies is always be kind to other people and good with animals.
That's very hard.
Very hard.
Can you eat the animals? Will the fairies be okay?
There's a number of tricks that I've learned during my course of research.
Okay, and yeah. Dermot, are you're okay as the illustrator?
I'm really trying to be nice to people, actually.
You've illustrated the fairies and they're
trying is
trying, yeah.
They're really cute in places and then they're really scary. I mean, this is, you need to be a brave kid in many ways.
Oh, very brave,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, speaking of bravery, thank you for letting us cross your threshold without wearing a costume.
Oh no, I'm dressed as a radio presenter. Nobody has found out yet. It's a costume. Come here. It's a really fun, it's a beautifully illustrated book. It does a lovely thing because it introduces the fairies and then tells us a great story about them.
Yeah.
But it's actually based on folklore collections, isn't there? Our national collection.
Yeah, our national folklore collection in UCD, which is amazing, and the school's folklore collection. But also during my research, I found that William Butler Yeats had written about folklore. J.M. Singh, Douglas Hyde, William Wilde, Lady Wilde. So loads and loads
of books.
Crept
into all the literature.
Crept into loads of literature.
What is in the folklore collection? These are kind of, or this is the history that kids have written down.
Kids. So it's the school's collection. So kids had written, there was 350 accounts of sightings of leprechauns, which Walt Disney used for his research on Darby O'Gill, the film that was released in 1959.
He famously came to Ireland and did all this research.
And then there's stories on Selkies and Pookas, Headless Horsemen, who are known as the Dullahan. So there's, light stories, and then there's absolutely terrifying, very dark stories.
Okay, so you did all your research there in the National Folklore Collection.
Yeah.
Dermot, where did you, as the sketcher?
My mum and father are from Kilkenny and Leitrim, respectively. So around where my mum is from in Kilkenny, I found a map, there's all these fairy forts around North Kilkenny.
Yeah.
And then where my dad is from, I went around, he grew up on the side of Loch Allen overlooking Slieveann Éireann, which is where the fairies apparently first arrived in Ireland. And it was near Glencar where W.B. Yeats wrote The Stolen Child, set in that.
Oh, yes.
So I spent a couple of weeks just travelling around the west of Ireland. And I went to the Folklore Museum as well near Castlebar. So there's a lot of stuff in there, like, the cradle where the changeling is, for example, and the shoes that the leprechauns
are. One of the worst ones. The changeling.
So, yeah.
That's not my child.
No.
Oliver, this is serious. It's not funny.
No,
I'm sorry.
It's not a joke about.
It's not, nothing to joke
Apologies.
About. You never know who's listening.
No.
I'll offer them e-numbers later on.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. And they claim the fairies first, they decided Leitrim was the place to land.
Well, there's loads of tiny stuff there, yeah. My dad, he worked in the mines in Erigna, and apparently there's stories about the fairies diverting mountain streams into neighbouring mines to destroy them and all this. So there's there's mermaids in Loch Gill, there's mermaids in Loch Allen, all this. So there's a lot of stuff going on up there.
God, there is a lot. And it's true, like, we are afraid to touch hawthorn trees, the lone trees on hills.
Yeah. Never pick them. I remember years ago bringing some into my house, picking flowers for my mum, and she was like, no, no. And that's, she started talking about the fairies and it was amazing. And then I remember she bought me a copy of Sinead De Valera's book on Irish fairy tales.
That's where you...
And that completely ignited, sparked my imagination, which was amazing because I loved the way basically it was just ordinary stories, and was one of the first times I read fairy tales that I was like, oh my God, this could happen to me. This is in Ireland. Even though it was years ago, I was like, I could be walking through a field and encounter a leprechaun, because I loved the way it was like ordinary situations and then something, an extraordinary encounter.
There's also that in the DeLorean factory, apparently The guy he cut down a hawthorn tree because his builders refused to do it, and that's why apparently went
naturally
under.
Naturally, the whole thing.
You see, that's the thing. Well, planning applications have been diverted because of hawthorn trees. You know, loads of
proper order.
Been denied. Yeah, proper order.
I mean, the fairies were good legislators in the day,
and
we could do with them now. We really could.
Yeah.
Only very brave children should dare go into the fairy aisle. Stories. Give us an overview then of the scariest characters.
So the scariest characters, and as you progress through the book, we've tried to keep the scarier stories at the end of the book. So we've got the Headless Horseman, who's known as the Dullahan, and stories about him are so terrifying. Irish immigrants brought them over to America.
Yeah.
And the Legend of Sleepy Hollow by Washington Irving was influenced by the Dullahan.
Who's best known for the Rip Van Winkle story.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm obsessed with it. I love that. Because
it's
Tim Burton's best film.
Yes,
in my view,
it's brilliant. Yeah, absolutely.
Even though he changes the story, because Ichabod Crane, I think, is a teacher in the town.
Yes.
Whereas he's an outside investigator in the film.
Yeah, God, might even watch that this evening.
It's a great Halloween tip.
Kind
of, you'd need to be in the 11s and 12s, I think, for a little...
Absolutely. Well, this book is 8+.
There's comedy horror.
Comedy horror. And then at the very end of the book is the scariest, and there are lesser known fairies, and that is the Shiri. Sometimes they're called the Ward of Shiri. Oh my God, Oliver, they
really
are terrifying.
Scary.
I scare easy. So I literally, you know, they appear and there's like little lights and you can see little faces with like sharp teeth. So absolutely terrifying. Mm. And they can basically, if you get lost in a bog, you can be there forever. Or bog bodies, who knows? That may be the explanation for bog bodies.
They could be hovering around there.
Exactly.
And well done on that, Dermot. You've given us something for our nightmares, the little floating...
Oh, you're so welcome.
Floating face hovering over bogs.
I know, I thought I was dark until I met Dermot.
The fairies have these kind of scientists, friends of theirs who put out, there's only some kind of gas coming out of the bog. You're imagining things.
Smokescreen, it's all PR,
Completely, it's to lure you in. They're also known as corpse candles because they would lure people to a watery grave.
Corpse candles?
Yeah, because you would think there's candles on the bog and you'd be like, oh, there's people out in the bog, and you wander out into the bog.
These are stories for children, you should say.
Yes.
Why they're at the end of the book.
They're brilliant to read out, particularly towards the end. Yeah. And kids love this sort of stuff. Look, we sent it out to a couple of young readers.
Excellent.
9-year-old Edie, she's from Greystone. This has changed her perspective entirely on fairies.
Oh, right, okay.
Which I don't know if the fairies are going to be particularly happy about this because... Edie now knows things about the fairies.
I thought that the book was really, really nice and the illustrations were very beautiful and helped me understand what was going on in the story. And I learned that fairies don't have to be little twinkly things in the air that give you money when you lose teeth or that live in little doors in your room.
So she's going to be correcting everyone she meets now in school.
Well, that's good. I'm glad.
Some of them are small and some of them are very big.
And some of them pass as humans.
They could be sitting next to you on the bus.
Yeah, exactly. Or in front of you being interviewed by you.
Pub.
We will be surprised. A lot of people will be surprised to hear that the Banshee, Mermaids, even Leprechauns, they're classed as fairies.
That's correct, yes. Mm. Yeah, they're all classed as fairies.
And the Banshee, I mean the word itself, isn't it?
Is fairy woman.
Fairy woman.
Yeah.
Banshee.
So she is fairy in Irish and Ban is woman.
Because there was other folklore, isn't there, about the Sí Gaoithe, which was the fairy's wind. The
fairy wind,
crops. But the Banshee, she's of the fairies.
Yeah, dark fairy, yeah. Yes. And also sometimes, you know, people think that she's terrifying, but, you know, sometimes she would prophesize, you know, she'd come and prophesize. It wasn't always about death.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What'd she prophesize?
She would prophesize like fortune, good fortune or bad fortune.
And what sound does she make for good fortune?
I don't actually know.
You might hear the whale.
I haven't heard. She hasn't visited me yet. So.
Yodel?
Yodel, yeah, maybe. Or maybe a whoop.
A whoop.
But there are knocks on the window and people... I know people who say they've heard those knocks before a relative has passed away.
Yeah.
And I think down in Yall, my mother's people are from East Cork, there were so many, not sightings, but hearings of Banshee wails that they scoured the beaches of Yall for weeks on end with flash lamps and everything. But
that's incredible. Sometimes ships at sea in the Atlantic meant to have heard her as well.
Leo's from County Wicklow. He's 9 years of age and he gives us his review on the Banshees section.
Okay.
I really like Fairy Isle because I just love learning about all these creatures that I don't really know about too much. And my favorite one is the Banshee because I knew about it already, But I didn't really know that some people thought it was like a ghost. Some people thought it was a professional keener. And it said a professional keener was a sing mourner, I think. And yeah, I just really, really enjoy reading these books.
There you go. A great review.
That's amazing. That's a great review. Yeah. So basically, keeners were professional mourners and you get paid for it. I didn't realize that either. And you go around to different funerals and...
This is 19th century, isn't it?
Yeah, 19th century. You wouldn't just get free sandwiches and a cup of tea. You'd actually get paid for...
Free
for
months, yeah.
I've seen a few undertakers now put on a bit of a show.
Oh, have you?
A few of a really excellent resting sad face.
Yes, yes. Mm. Yeah.
There's a text coming in already on the fairies. I just heard your guest speak about National Folklore Collection. I was thrilled recently to see some of my grandmother's childhood writing. Dorothy Hillis was her name.
Excellent.
Were held within the collection as a child. I loved hearing about the banshee, the man with the cure, the maybush and so on, was fearing that these tales are being lost. Not
yes,
so.
Yeah. Not so well. Thank you. That's great.
I have seen a headless horseman in Green Hills Park, Dublin 12, one later. Everything went cold for a second. Wind came and the horseman carriage came through and literally disappeared into thin air. No one believes it, they added in.
Wow. Well, I believe it.
Me
until
too.
Now. Yeah. So a delivery, perhaps? There's industrial estates, aren't there?
Delivery, yeah.
But the headless, I love. Yeah. Selkies, I don't know too much.
So Selkies, so Selkies, actually there was loads of stories of Selkies in the Irish folklore collection, especially around from counties Mayo and Galway and Kerry. And apparently the O'Flahertys and the McNamaras are believed to be descendant from Selkies. So often it was usually a woman for some reason, and the 9th of May or the 9th of any month, they would come to shore for some reason. That was their special number, was 9. And stories of Selkies where they would be stranded, man would find them, bring her home, she'd recover, he'd hide her cape and they'd get married and have children.
They're lovely stories that set along the coast as well.
Exactly,
aren't
they? So, yeah, absolutely.
The fairies like inland, really, don't they? They're like kind of drumlins and things.
Yes.
Yeah. Selkies tend to give you. Fia was a big fan. Fia's 8 and she's from Dublin.
It was a very nice book and slightly grim. I also liked it because it's full of magical things. And my favourite one was probably the Silky. It's about a Silky who gets washed up on shore, and after 7 years, she has already has like, I think, 4 kids and has married. And at the end, she dives into the water, never to be seen again. I would recommend this book for 9 or over year olds, because it can be a bit creepy in some of the stories, like the banshee.
The banshee. That's 8 year old Fia saying really 9+ for, but she's fine. Obviously, she's
okay. Good.
Scholarly about these things.
That's brilliant. The reviews are fantastic. Thank you, Oliver.
Because they can be nerve wracking.
Yeah, yeah.
Tough crowd.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah. I like that it's only slightly grim. You need
slightly,
to work harder.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Dermot, we had people texting us even earlier this week going, "What is the Pooka?" Because we were talking about The Unreal, which has a Pooka, but it's based on a kids' show version of it. What's the Pooka to you? Because you had to bring all these characters to life for us.
Oh, well, the hardest thing with Pooka is just to how to figure out what he looks like. So he's part man, part horse, part goat. And he's a real trickster. There's a very nice side to him. I think that's the sense I got from it, but a really mischievous side as well. I think I heard Eddie Lenihan tell stories about him. You can catch him if you use iron kind of...
Stirrups
and stuff where you can take them for rides, so you kind of, you know, you can bend them to your will.
Oh, wow. But only Eddie Lenihan, storyteller Shanachie, would get away with it.
But I think it's usually when you're on the way home from, if you're walking home from a pub in the night out, and he'll arrive beside you on the side of the road, and suddenly he whips you off onto your back and takes you on a wild, crazy ride. But so there was a story I heard once about someone who bent down on the way home from Kilkenny City, and they bent down to tie their shoes, and a gust of wind hit them, and they turned around and walked all the way back in, and only realised when they got to town. And then I think they tried to say it was a pooka as well, but I don't know what the story is, you know.
But people were brewing their own alcohol in those days.
Yes.
Out of things that grew in hedges.
No, yeah.
Dermot in Kilkenny says the Headless Horseman spotted in Green Hills, Dublin 12 was Deliver Boo.
Oh, very good. That's oh, very brilliant. Good, yeah. Very good.
That's the mood we're in today. On Mermaids, Ellie from Kildare is our last reader reviewer. So let's hear what Ellie made of the Mermaid section.
I absolutely love learning about folktale creatures. I like the way Sheena Quinn explains the creatures before she tells the story, because I wouldn't even think of that myself if I was writing the book. I learned about some of them in school, like Pooka, the leprechaun, and the banshee. And I actually think that Sheena Quinn explained it better than I did in school. And I actually liked the Northern Lights in the Mermaid section. I love the way John falls into the water and then the mermaid helps him back up. And when I heard about the mermaid on the rock in the middle of the Shannon, if you saw it, you'd die a year later. It got me a tiny bit scared, but I still liked it as well.
They're so casual about it, aren't they?
Yeah.
You'll die a year later.
Make the most that year. Yeah. You know, yeah.
That's great that she loved that story. Actually, when I was researching for The Mermaid, the stories that I found, as Gráinne, our editor, said, they were just too dark and too deathy. So I had to recreate that story. And that's just totally...
Okay.
And I was influenced by the Northern Lights. It was in May when we could see the Northern Lights. And I just thought, you know, the beautiful greens and pinks reminded me of like maybe Fishtail. So that was the spark of that story.
And obviously a dream for an illustrator.
Yeah,
yeah. It was the whole thing was. It was great. I loved working on it.
Have you had any night terrors in recent times? Are you being, because that would indicate whether how well this is being received by the fairy community.
Not so much. I think it's been.
I sense you shutting down there. You've done a deal, haven't you, with the fairies?
Myself and the Banshee exchanged words, should we say, exchanged howls to. And thankfully, actually, my sleep is much better now that I've released these tales into the wild. So maybe my work is done.
She sings me sounds to sleep. Of coins jangling. Sell the book. Sheena.
I signed an NDA, so I can't say anything.
Like I said, they're really good legislators and contract lawyers.
Yeah. But I can tell you this for nothing, that I'm not going to spend any time near a bog or... wandering freely on my own on Halloween night.
It's one of the many reasons why we need to leave the bogs alone and don't go meddling in them, no matter how much you want to put potting compost in your window boxes.
Exactly.
Next. No. Leave the bogs alone. The window boxes fall off and smash for a very good reason often. Thank you to our book reviewers, by the way. That was E.D. from Greystones, Ellie from Kildare, Fia from Dublin and Leo from Greystones, and Oliver at RTE.ie for our other reader reviewers who are coming into us as well. It's a gorgeous book. Well done. It's a lovely hardback thing. The Fairy Isle. Sheena Quinn, thank you very much for coming in. And Dermot Flynn. Happy Halloween to both
much.
Of you.
Happy Halloween to you too. Thank
Take
you
it
so
easy.
Much.
We're going to talk about planting trees next season, so that's something the fairies will agree
Excellent.
With. But we'll take a quick break first. Back shortly.
Email Oliver at RTE.ie.